The message I'm bringing this morning is a very similar message that I brought in Rugeley last Sunday, because I just believe this is a message not just for Victory Churches, but this is a message for the church that God has for us. And I want you to turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to 1 Samuel, and we're going to read the story of David and Goliath. And I didn't realise I'd have as much time as I have today, but don't start getting fearful. But I've got a bit of extra time today, and I want to read this in full, because it's going to set the scene to what I want to be speaking about over the next month or two. Praise God. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Are you there? Praise God. Page 436. In my Bible. It says, now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes, Damim, between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and on his bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. That's about 7 kilos in English money, Spanish money. Goliath stood, and so the shield bearer went ahead of him. Verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was a son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. Jesse's 3 eldest sons had followed Saul to the war. Firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurried to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out of his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done, said David. Can't I even speak? It just sounds like brothers, don't they? Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter with the men, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of those, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armour on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go out in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. They took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile the Philistine was with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David, by his gods, come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face downward on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, without a sword in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from its sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. I'm going to stop there. If you want to read the rest when you get home, read the rest. There's a few more verses, but I think that sort of sets the scene. Because I believe, church, that if we are to move on from where we're at, it's time to kill some giants. And this is the message that God has birthed in my heart while I've been away. It was brewing up before Christmas, and as I went to the UK and was seeking God, what do I bring? What do I bring the church in the UK? This was the word. It's time to kill the giants. You know, and if we're to do what God wants us to do, if we're to win souls for Jesus in this town, in this area, in where we live, our neighbours, our friends, if we are to answer the call that God has placed upon our lives, church, it's time to kill some giants. It's time to kill some giants. And as God was reminding me of how often we knock the giant down. And we knock him down and we walk away and we feel quite pleased with ourselves that we've defied him. But I read right to the end there where David took Goliath's sword out of his sheath and cut off his head. It's time that we cut off the head of some of the giants that we face. And God just reminded me, talking to my heart as I was sort of just mulling all this over, you know, what are the giants? You know, one of my giants has been letting go of my family. You know, giants aren't just great big things, like a big bounty. Sometimes they can be little things, but they are constantly nagging at us. They're constantly, like Goliath, standing on the other side of the valley saying, you can't do this. You're not able to do it. You're just weak. Who are you? Some boy coming at me with sticks. And our giants can say, taunt us with this stuff all the time. You know, I said, Lord, just show me some giants. Show me some giants. Yeah, and he showed me a bunch of giants. A lot of them mine. But they're not just for me. They're in the church, they're everywhere. They're in the world today. We look outside and we see these giants. And I just feel that it's time we not only knock the giant down, it's time we cut off his head as well. It's time we destroyed the giant. And I really feel so burdened in my heart about this. I am going to be speaking on this for the next I don't know how long. And every time I speak, we're going to take a giant and we're going to cut it down. And we're going to do it through Scripture. This word is going to tell us how to destroy the giants. And we're going to look through this word and we're going to find out how we're going to kill our giants. What's your giant today, church? Because I looked at my life and I looked at some of the giants that have been there. And there's giants all the time. Where you have a church, you have a giant. Where we have individual lives, we have giants. And I was just really sort of just seeking God. And they asked me in Rugeley to come and speak at one of the men's breakfasts that they have. And in there we got a bunch of guys. It's amazing how the church has just changed its focus there. And no longer is all about what's happening in here, it's as well as what's happening out there. And the vision is enlarged. It's not just about come in, get fed on the word and get fat on the word. It's going to do something with the word. And the release I've seen in 12 months has been tremendous. The guys that cook the breakfast come from the community. They come and they just love to come in and serve. And these five guys come from Cannock, and they come into Rugeley every time they have a breakfast, and they cook the food, and they're brilliant. It's just like sitting on, if I could afford it, I'd fly you over for one of our breakfasts. They all cook us our food. It was brilliant, the most wonderful food. And every time they come and they hear the word of God, and they're getting saved and set free in their lives. And I just look at and Rugeley reaching out always was a giant. But now it's not. And they're starting to kill that giant. You know, and I said, Lord, you know, what can I say to the guys? And he said, I want you to talk to them about offence. Because offence is one of the biggest giants in the church. And it kills churches, it destroys churches, it rips churches apart, it rips families apart, it just rips mothers and fathers against their children, all sorts of things. And I just shared with these guys, and to see guys weeping as they realised that, you know, that this is something that they had to deal with, something they had to let go of. And next week I shall speak on offence. And I won't be offended if you don't turn up. But I dare you to come, and I dare you let this word speak into your heart. Because I want to start with number one, and I'll be the number one thing that is a giant in the church is offence. See it around. And four pastors came up to me after that breakfast, and they said, the word you brought was the word that was right for today. You don't know what's been going on in my church. You don't know what's been going on in my family. You don't know what's been going on. You know, I just knew that that was it. And so when I spoke last week in Rugeley, I just knew the word was the right word. It was about being giant killers. And I looked around the church there, and I look around the church here today. This room is filled with giant killers. You are giant killers. And maybe you just don't know it yet. But God has equipped you through this word to kill the giant. No matter what it is, if it's offense, if it's doubt, if it's fear, if it's the past, Whatever your giant is, God, through His Word, has equipped us. It's in there. And we're going to take it week by week. We're going to open it up. And we're going to look at a different thing. And I pray. You see, if we're going to do what God's called us to do, we've got to kill some giants. You know, maybe it's fear of telling a testimony to somebody. Maybe it's a huge giant. Every time you go and start to say a word about Jesus, this thing rears up and it says, "You can't do this. Who are you? How you messed up last week? What right have you got to tell somebody in the street about your perfect life when it is perfect, when it isn't perfect?" That's what giants do. They pull us down, they rip us down, they tear us apart, they belittle. And what was Goliath doing here? As we read there this morning, Goliath shouted at the ranks of Israel. You see, when the giant curses the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, he's on a loser straight away. You know, and we're going to look at scriptures in the weeks ahead. It's going to show us exactly the power that we have over the giants in our lives. This week is a little just a taster of what I believe God wants us to deal with. And I believe that as we kill the giants, we're going to be freed and freed and freed to do what God's called us to do. You know, we had a wonderful year last year, a year of opportunity to serve our community. It's going to be no different this year. But it's going to be different things, and we're going to face different giants as we go to do what God's called us to do. As God opens up opportunities. You know, when they went into the promised land, when Moses sent the spies out into the promised land, they went out and they looked at what the land was like. And the spies came back after 40 days. It's amazing how this 40 days comes up. Or 40 days, Goliath taunted. 40 days, Jesus fasted in the wilderness. 40 days this and 40 days that. You know, perhaps we'll do a 40-day fast. No, I won't go there. It's interesting how numbers come up within Scripture. But for 40 days, he taunted our God. You know. 40 days and for some of you and me, you know, giants have taunted my life. They've spoken words and accused me, and they've accused you. They've told you you can't when God says you can, and you've laid stuff down when you should have taken stuff up because the giants have accused you, because they've said you can't do this, you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, you don't know enough about God's word. I challenge you, church. I challenge you to be giant killers in 2013, because if you kill some giants, you're going to go on into areas of not just ministry, but areas of relationship with God you've never known before. God's going to free you. Maybe prayer's a giant to you. Oh, I find it hard to pray. Reading the Word, I find it really hard to read the Word. I can read it, but I just don't have any understanding. It doesn't seem to sink in. I don't seem to have any revelation of what it is. This year can be the year to destroy the giant and to, you know, fear. Bless you, my sister, as you go into hospital this week. I'm praying that God will take away every fear, every ounce of fear out of your life, and just make you strong. You know, just believe in for miracles this year. A year of miracles this is going to be. It won't be if we let the giants destroy us. It won't be if we let them taunt you and say you can't do it. And I just... really, as I looked at David and looked at what he did here, you see, we don't go against our giants with swords and spears, just as David said to Goliath. And you notice there that towards the end there, when he went up against him, he got his stones and his sling, and he actually says there in the, I think it was verse 48, says, "And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly." You know, I want us to be in a position, church, where we can actually start running at our giants instead of running away from them, hiding away from them in fear and trepidation. You know, that when you see a giant, you just know, I'm an overcomer. We can look at scriptures that tell you exactly who you are in Christ and exactly the power that you have available to you in Christ to defeat the giants. I believe it's going to be a giant killing year for Wellspring Victory Church in 2013. You know, and as we come into it, and as we, as a leadership, as we give our envision you for the year ahead, this fast is important. Week on Monday, 3 days. I just ask you just to say, for, even if you want to use it for your giants, say, Lord, in this 3 days of fasting, just show me how I'm going to destroy the giants and get in the way. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know what it is. There's so many giants. Each one of us have different giants. But they all do the same. They all have the same effect on us. They stop us doing what God wants us to do. So my challenge as we head into this year. So, you know, we're 3 weeks in already. 3 weeks of opportunity to kill some giants. My wife has been a giant. And praise God, and it's still coming off bit by bit. Ruthie, I just bless you this morning. What a transformation in such a short time. You know, you encourage people. Encouragement is a great giant killer. So often we're discouraging each other. We don't say, we don't do, we don't hug, we don't meet, we don't greet, we don't do these things. You know, sow some encouragement this year. Maybe it'll destroy some giants for you. I can't approach people. I always remember Wendy saying to Barbara Graham, years and years ago when we were first sort of, you know, going to the church that long, and somebody walked in and Wendy said to Barbara, "Who's that lady over there?" And Barbara says, "Why don't you go and introduce yourself and find out?" You know, Wendy found it difficult to approach people to say hi. It was a giant for her, but God enabled her to break through that and to destroy that giant. What is your giant, church? I ask you that question today. Maybe you've got many giants. I just believe this year is the year for the giants to fall. And if the giants fall, this church will go on to do the absolute complete call that God has on the church and on our lives. It's time to cut off the giant's head and not just knock him down. And that's going to be done not with sword, because there's a song, I think it's the weapons of our warfare, a scripture, isn't it, are not carnal but they are mighty to the bringing down of strongholds. You see, we don't need mighty weapons, we don't need tanks and armies and everything. We just need to know who we are in Christ, and if we know who we are in Christ, we are able to bring down the giant. And not only bring it down, kill it while it's on the ground, so it doesn't come back up again and rear its ugly head and starts mouthing off at you again. Because we are so soft in many ways, we just keep letting the giants get up and letting the giants put us down. It's time to stop them in the tracks. It's time to say no to the giants and yes to Jesus. I reminded the thing that Pat said last year sometime about, you know, when we talk to the mountain, you know, don't tell the God how big your mountain is, tell the mountain how big your God is. It's the same with giants as well. You know, it's time to tell our giants how big our God is. So I challenge you in this year ahead, cut off some giants' heads, and together as a church, I will do my utmost to bring the teaching that will enable us as a church to move forward and deal with these giants all the way through. And I really believe that as we do this, God is going to release us into the fullness of what he has for us. I just want to share this one scripture that I'm going to pack it up for today. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 1. I love this. Says this. I want to leave this to take home with you, mull it over with you over the weekend, because this is who God says you are, and this is what God says you have. This is your giant killing capability today. Ephesians 1, verse 17. This is Paul talking. So I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And this is it, verse 19. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power that raised Jesus from that tomb, that rolled that stone away, that brought him out from where he went for you and for me to destroy sin forever. That same power is in you and in me when you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, to deal with every giant that comes your way. And if we can get hold of that and realise that, wow, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, I have within me, within my heart, to speak to my giant and to tell him how big my God is and to destroy him once and for all. Church, let's be giant killers this year. Let's rise up. Let's take no more of the battering that the enemy gives us. Let's stand and let's rejoice. Who the Son sets free is free indeed, and you have that freedom in you today to kill your giants. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that this room is full of giant killers. I thank you, Father, that you are doing a mighty work in the hearts and lives of those that make up your church. And we're here just part of that worldwide church today. Father, we just stand, Father, in our hearts, and we say, Lord, we just want to be those giants. We want to be like David. Maybe some of us are mere boys and mere girls when it comes to fighting giants. But Father, I thank you that in your strength, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than able. I am more. I am more. I am more. Father, I pray that this year will be an enlightening into our hearts, Father, just who we are in you and who you are with us. Father, I thank you that your love is amazing. It doesn't change. And Father, I pray, Lord, that 2013 will go down in the history of our lives as the year that we killed our giants. In your precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.